Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, the next phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All of these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of us children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
We've never changed and the change came, we're alive, Obama, household name, searching for it in a brand new way, the roads of Mississippi singing them free the song, we got a spirit cause I got made strong, away with the promise, 30 acres and a mule. Nowhere in this to be so cruel. Standing for the release like Ali. Fighting in the unknown zone. Put away that strife. Bring our troops back home. I wish Pop was alive. See the better day when the knees fell down and his kids broke down. Victory in the heart, so amazing where we start. In the midst of the pain, the rain came. Why does the seed preserve the same and not for the fame? War would last, but I must confess.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky.
Movement. How we went from the slave ship to the president. The dream of Dr. King is what we represent. Our mind clean, non-violent. We bring peace to the environment. And we love all men, women, and children. Not judging by the color of their skin. We blend, characterized by the content within. Equalized by the Constitution. Eyes on the prize to make a better union. Obama terrified this revolution. Now we rise, our brother. Creeks and the lies for these solutions. Open up your eyes, be free. As a bird in the sky by the grace of God.
God, I testify.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky. You ain't gonna lie.
The fight that one day we would never see the bloodshed fight and lose, and now we see the color lines of the red, white, and blue ride with no color lines. The reality to the vision of a sweet eye. Once trapped at the bottom, now we fly high, and God's not done yet. If sunrise is victory, then never show sunset. We take many years and tears, and thank God we sweat, so it's already done. Jeez. And we don't need a receipt for this one, we can have to bring back. No, we can't.
Like an eagle in the sky, there ain't no lie.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. 7 past 7 p.m. West Texas time. It's kind of clear outside, kind of windy, around about, what, 80 degrees or so. Anyway, I want to welcome you here and like to let you know that you can give us a call, 347-945-7040, if you so choose to do so. The next phase with Ice and Friends, you can also contact us by email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. That was music. I'm Free from the Crosswalk Coalition, a West Coast group that my son's associated with. A religious rap group is actually what it is. And I think they do a real good job at what they do, and that's communicating about the religious aspects of our youth and our society today. Really appreciate him let me borrow his tune and play some of that. And we'll play a little bit more of it a little bit later on in the show. And also, as always, well, let me take a moment here to read something, and I'm going to see if you can recognize it. It says, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them." Does that sound familiar to you? That's Proverbs 22nd chapter 22nd and 23rd verse. "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them." Anyway, a little bit of information that I'd like to pass on to you right now. I always like to mention Ms. Rabia Ahmed, the organizer of SMART. That's Single Mothers Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. Sister Rabia does considerably more than just talk, and I want to thank her, as always, for sharing whenever she has a chance. You can find out more about Sister Rabia Ahmed and her program if you will look at www.smarttochange.org. www.smarttochange.org.
change.org, and that's in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. And in addition to that, there were some things that I wanted to mention, if I can find them here. There is an article that I was looking at in the Black Agenda in the Griot. It's called Misplaced Priorities Create a Prison Boom, Education Bust. This is Benjamin Todd Jealous. And this was 11:06 a.m. on the 7th today, 2011. It says, welcome to America, home to 5% of the world's people and 25% of the world's prisoners. 5% of the world's people. 25% of the world's prisoners. It says, life started hard for Michael A. Hargrove, Sr. Born to alcoholic parents, he turned to the streets for guidance. He missed at home. At 10 years old, Michael sold drugs. 2 years later, he started using. He dropped out of school in the ninth grade. Quickly, Michael became, in his words, a jailbird, caught in a revolving door experience with the Department of Corrections, incarceration, release, reincarceration. There is a bitter way, there is a better way, a smarter way to deal with low-level offenders like Michael. Too often, especially in African-American communities, the criminal justice system scoops up young offenders with drug addictions. They get locked up. They receive little, if any, drug treatment or education. They get released. They can't find work because of their criminal record. They get locked up again. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to mention, again, Sister Rabia Ahmed and her program of SmartToChange.org. The organizer of SMART, Smart Mother, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, and it's designed to assist especially women and their families, but she also has some contacts for men who are having problems and difficulties reestablishing and reconnecting with the world, and she has some contact information for you also as well. And this is for women, especially who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids, and this program is designed to address several different aspects of human being. It aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. Sister Rabia, again, does considerably more than just talk. You hear a lot of people talking these days, very few people doing. And what she does is reach out to women and also offers information and guidance to men at www.smarttochange.org. Looking right along here, there is some more information I'd like to share with you. Talking about this shutdown that's taking place, as a matter of fact, I have another one of my little tidbits of information that on occasion I'm inspired to do. And one of the things that I did, the thing that I looked at this week was what we call the progressives. I'm getting a little bit upset with the progressives. Instead of the Democratic Party coming together after a victory, the Democratic Party became more divided after the election of President Barack Hussein Obama. The progressives acted like spoiled children during the last election. That was in November 2010, and to defend their dismissive and negligent attitudes, they now again blame President Obama rather than joining in on the fight. Progressives are showing themselves to be actually the handmaidens of the Republican Party. They are the third party who have abandoned all the people who will suffer as a result of their idiotic performance of the Republican of this idiotic performance of the Republican Party. And party indeed it is, as they celebrate the union with their newest partners, adolescent progressives, who have sworn their allegiance to the Republicans by their inactions. Inaction is not a benign act. Oh, no. Quite the opposite. Any inaction from people on the Democratic side means sure and certain victory for the vicious Republican Party. let it be known that all Supreme Court decisions in the future hang in the balance, not to mention the looming threats of Republicans having control of the redistricting mechanism. So Democrats must gather themselves, realizing that the so-called progressives should be counted as members of the Republican Party and should be treated as such. I promise from this day forth to detach myself from any individuals who define themselves as progressives. But let it be known that I fully consider any individual who defines themselves as progressive to be a traitor, totally lacking of the least bit of authenticity and legitimacy. In the greatest hour of need, they summarily turned their backs on the weakest, most defenseless Americans who needed them most. Progressives show themselves to be totally undependable for support on any issues. They don't fit that any issues that don't fit their narrow slither of concerns. They forsook the greater need and interests of the American people for their own tiny little issues. I began to notice these sad and pathetic people when they would hold people like Ralph Nader and his ilk as being representative of their ideal leaders. Ralph Nader has cost the American people more than they can imagine with his egomaniacal, self-absorbed, so-called political campaigns. These campaigns, time after time, sought to divide the Democratic Party, thereby placing them in positions to be easily defeated. Nader was used more than a few times to dilute and distract the Democratic Party. Nader's efforts have led to the elections of Reagan, Bush, and Bush. Nader's legacy can be held responsible for the losses of the last election and all troubles being felt in Congress and the issues that are being played out in Wisconsin and other states that find themselves under attack today. The heir apparent of Ralph Nader seems to be none other than the likes of people like Dennis Kucinich, another so-called progressive. I've noticed Kucinich show his egomania more than a few times, and now I realize he is the new face of the progressive obstructionist movement who feel they can find their way to a third party by dividing the Democratic Party. This continues to allow Republicans to seem as significant. My guess is that Kucinich and his ilk, who flaunt themselves as Democrats to benefit from the organizational skills of the party, but who continually betray the party and leave the party vulnerable to attacks from the Republicans. I can understand Blue Dog Democrats who may find themselves in heavily Republican districts, and they have to depart from traditional Democratic ideals. But progressives, on the other hand, are the traditional Democratic or in traditional Democratic districts, but are actually leeches who feed off the blood of Democrats for their campaign coffers, then abandon allegiance to the party after being elected. They are chameleons, and they have a very deep disdain for the Democratic Party, but only show their colors after being elected. So for all intents and purposes, the Democratic Party has more enemies than the Republicans. They also has more enemies than just the Republicans. They also have the backstabbing chameleon Trojan horses, the progressives. The progressives use the Democrats to support their newspapers, radio shows, television shows, books, and blogs. Then accumulated, they begin to abandon the Democratic Party. Like leeches, they suck the blood of the host. They suck the blood and then abandon the host. I only wish progressives had the guts to admit what they are, then depend on their progressive political machines to support them. And I really got a little bit aggravated with them during especially the 2010 election when they – I heard a guy the other day on a popular – hey, Miss Gloria 40, how you doing? I heard a guy the other day – welcome to the chat room, Miss Gloria 40. I heard a guy the other day on the Ed Schultz show is this guy that he calls Homie. And Homie was saying that Barack Obama should do this and Barack Obama should do that. And Ed Schultz was asking him, like, well, you know, maybe he takes the progressives for granted. And this guy named calls himself Homie says, well, yeah, if he did, look at what happened in the last election. We didn't go out and vote, and the Democrats had their quote-unquote ass handed to them. You know, and I thought about this guy, and I'm wondering, how does it feel now that he's so feels so glorified that the Democrats had their quote-unquote ass handed to them, that we're having to unravel the situation in Wisconsin. We're having to deal with the Tea Party. I think the Tea Party, I've heard estimates, the population of the Tea Party, somewhere around anywhere from 67,000 people to 1 million people. That's the totality of the Tea Party, and that's who's running the country right now. That's who's taking us toward this this shutdown of the government for their own, and those are the ones that cheered, as was mentioned, about the potential shutdown of the government by their one of the, well, he's not actually their leader, he's just their puppet, and that is John Boehner, you know. And I mean, these to me, the progressives don't really understand the severity of their mistake in trying to. And I listened to this guy, Ed Schultz, talk about, well, if the Democrats are not going to fight for this, then the union shouldn't go out and vote for them, you know. And what happened was that the Democrats were defeated. It was as if that the progressives and guys like Ed Schultz wanted the Democrats to be defeated in November 2010. Hey, look, I may not agree with everything that the Democratic Party does, but I can guarantee you they're the only party that'll ever get my vote. You know, and what happens when you experiment with the Republican Party? You just experimented with them in Wisconsin, and now you're recalling the people that you literally voted for and put in office. And why? You know, again, a little article I did thing that I did the other week was called "An Ounce of Prevention is Worth a Ton of Cure." You know, and there was a guy I heard the other day on TV saying that I think he was a fireman. He said, "Yeah, I voted. I've been a Republican all my life, but I'll never vote for another Republican." I mean, these guys, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I've never seen any group of people like these guys. I've worked around them all my life. And these guys are—I can put it like this—they're very serious about their politics. They may laugh and they may smile and they may grin, but I can guarantee you they are very serious about getting their points across. And right now, they're getting ready to shut down this government and try to blame it on President Obama. And it's pretty—you know—on the one hand, I'm so upset with the progressives that they would use their rhetoric to demean and berate and denigrate President Obama. And there was not one progressive that left, the 14 politicians that left Wisconsin and went to Illinois, they weren't any of them progressive. They were Democrats. You know, it's like ham and eggs, like what Brother Oliami said last week. You know, the progressives are like the eggs in ham and eggs, and the Democrats were like the bacon. Or the ham. The progressives were involved, and the Democrats were. Let's see, it's the way it goes. The progressives were involved, but the Democrats were committed. Because when they're slicing your bacon, you're committed. It's not like you're just dropping a few eggs and keeping it moving. So I'm really kind of I'm really angry, as you can tell. Not really angry, but just upset with the progressives, and because this is such a critical time, and one of the reasons that it's such a critical time is that you have Supreme Court justices coming up, and some of these guys are going to be replaced during the next term. And I don't think, based on what you've seen with this Posser guy up in Wisconsin, that you really want to see Clarence Thomas and Alito and Scalia and Roberts. Some of the other justices replaced by people like those guys. So, you know, and then the redistricting, as I said, the redistricting mechanism, it's going to be totally in the hands of the Republicans. If people aren't careful and really, you know, don't opt for the traditional and customary thinking process that we've, you know, the, that the dominant voting majority has depended on for years. You know, the dominant voting majority has continued for years to elect 43 prior presidents. And then when President Obama gets elected, everybody wants everything cleaned up immediately. As I've stated time and time and time again, Bush inherited a surplus, regardless how much it was. It was a surplus. This is what they called, if I'm not mistaken, the peace dividend. And then Bush, he instituted the tax breaks for the wealthy, tax cuts for the wealthy. And the premise was that by, you know, cutting the taxes for the wealthy, then obviously they would reinvest the money in creating more jobs. Well, what happened was that they began to offshore the jobs. They began to outsource the jobs to other countries. They began to invest their money other places where it could draw more money. They didn't put that money out. There was no trickle down effect at all, you know. And what's happened with this ploy that's being perpetrated on the American public is the same thing that I was here when Reagan ran, both times I was living, you know. And his idea was, in my opinion, you run the deficit up so high that you won't cut military industrial complex spending. So what you do is you cut the social programs. Now, all of a sudden, those individuals who adhere to, who tout Ronald Reagan as being the best president ever, they're in office now. They're in the House. And they're suggesting that we've run this deficit up. So what we're going to cut is our programs. We're going to tax cut for the wealthy. And we're going to make the difference up by saddling expenses on the middle class and the poor people. And you have individuals who don't want to have their taxes raised and make an excess of $450 million a year. And I had some of those articles, but I don't have them in my hand right now, but I will in the future. Let me just say why, as a government shutdown, and this is an article from the Griot, why a government shutdown would hurt blacks more than most. And it's going to hurt a lot of people. And when we say blacks, I think a term that a word that's left off is black Americans. You know, Americans. We're all, that's the one thing that binds us all together, is that we are Americans, regardless to your shade, regardless to your hue, you know, regardless your ethnicity, your culture. We just happen to be Americans. And we don't have any defenses out there right now except for the lowly Democratic Party. And if you can't see that they need support right now, I really don't understand. And really, you shouldn't be listening to me because I'm not a minstrel. I don't do blackface. I don't clown. I don't talk about people's nappy hair like I've heard some of these guys on this radio, this Blog Talk Radio. You know, what I'm talking to you about is some serious, to me, serious business, some things that you might want to think over. You know, I understand a little bit about politics, no degree, barely made it out of high school, but I understand a few things about politics, and one of the things that I strongly suggest that you consider is taking a real good look at the situation that we find ourselves in today, and don't make the same mistakes we just made in November 2010, when we allowed people to experiment. Not we, I say we, and you got to be careful with the pronouns. I didn't vote for any of those Republicans. I didn't vote for any of those Tea Party people, but they got elected nevertheless. Those people who are from at most a million or so, they run this country right now. They run the House of Representatives. And there is not that cohesive, coherent approach from the Democratic side, because you got the progressives whining and complaining, well, Obama ought to do, and Obama, you know. They don't criticize the Republicans. They criticize President Obama, and that's why I'm very upset with the progressives at this point. Anyway, taking a look at this, why a government shutdown would hurt blacks more than most. And this is Earl Ofari Hutchinson, and this is 9:20 a.m. on today, April the 7th, and this is information from the Griot. It says the figures on the number of blacks in federal government positions tell the story or just who will be hurt the most in the government shutdown. According to the 2010 study by the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, blacks make up more, nearly one out of every five non-postal federal employees. The disproportionate number of black American federal employees is more than a paper figure if the government uses temporary pink slips to nearly 1 million federal employees in any shutdown. They have rents and home mortgages to pay, children's tuitions due, food and clothes to buy. You know, in short, the human toll would be huge and would go far beyond $100 million per day that some experts estimate a government shutdown would cost. The disproportionate hurt that a government shutdown will inflict on black Americans is no anomaly. Public employment and federal government being a centerpiece of that has been the economic lifeblood of black American communities for generations. A recent University of California Center for Labor Research and Education study by Stephen Pitts on black Americans in the public sector found that in the decade before and after the Great Depression, black Americans made up nearly one out of every three public employees nationally. The numbers were so great for a simple reason. Listen carefully. The numbers were so great because there are people out there, see, that's all they do, they discriminate, they give those black people jobs. Well, listen, the doors in private companies were largely slammed shut to black Americans in anything other than the most menial and servile jobs. And discrimination in pay, type of work, testing, and promotions was rampant. The Postal Service was a near textbook example of that. It was common for black Americans with advanced degrees, to be clustered in the jobs as custodians, mail carriers, and much later window clerks in post offices in black American neighborhoods. But despite the discrimination and bottom-rung status of black Americans in the post office and federal agencies, these were still considered plum jobs for black Americans. They were stable, guaranteed a steady paycheck and health benefits and a pension. As more opportunities opened for black Americans in federal and other public sector jobs, the wage differential gradually narrowed between what black Americans could make in the private sector and the public sector. By 2008, the gap had been overcome, and black Americans overall were paid significantly higher wages in public employment than the private sector. But there was the new threat that could reverse the decades of progress that black Americans had made to gain parity and more in the public employment. This was and is full-blown assault on the GOP and Congress and governors and state legislatures on public employees' wages, pensions, benefits, and rights. The assault is combined with the other twin threat of ballooning state and local budget deficits. In the past 2 years alone, more than 400,000 public employees have been axed by state and local governments. As the years passed, black Americans have been hurt the most by job losses. The ferocious battle between congressional Democrats, the Obama administration, and the GOP over how hard to swing the meat axe on government spending and budget cuts is, if nothing else, a battle over how deep and how fast to shrink the federal government services and employment. One can't be separated from the other. Service and program cuts mean employee cuts. So, you see, one of the reasons that the Republicans, hey, we got a caller in here, 228, just a second here and I'll put you right on. But one of the reasons that we're having such a time with the Republicans is because the people that they're attacking are less able to respond. And so they're easy pickings, you know, and there are any number of other reasons that I find that I could bring forth, and I will try to as time permits. But right now, 228, you're online. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm all right. Who am I speaking with?
Miss Paralegal.
Hello, Miss Paralegal. How are you doing? And thank you so much. Miss Paralegal, I want you to hold on just a second, okay? And for those of you who do not or may not know Miss Paralegal, I want you to have a formal introduction. Miss Paralegal.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific. A full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Miss Paralegal, I want to thank you so much for doing that promo for me. I really appreciate it.
Well,
I mean, that was excellent. I can't give you enough compliments. I know this lady is very modest, but I really so much appreciate even knowing her. She's a wonderful spirit, and although we've never met, we've communicated a little bit, and it's just been a joy to know you. And how are you tonight? And what's going on in that lovely little life of yours, ma'am?
Everything is fine. What I actually called to talk about, you're way past that.
What's that? Now, talk about it.
Well, actually, I was going to talk about this presidency thing. You know, it's one that I've never seen in my lifetime, and I'm only 40. And I've never witnessed anything like this at all. This country is becoming a joke. What has been known to be politics is really crazy.
Right.
I've known second graders that can carry on a better conversation and that can come up with much greater ideas than what's going on today. It's a fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing.
Absolutely.
And it's nonsense, and it needs to stop. There's a lot of things going on, and there's so many people doing different things or what have you. There's prostitutes being bullied by pimps. There's women being battered every 5 seconds. There are children being raped every 2 to 3 seconds of the day. There are so many things going on. People are dying, losing their lives for nonsense and stupidity. There's so many things going on. Now, just today I was listening to the news, and they just now coming to the conclusion of getting the final answer as to where President Obama was born. My God.
Right.
We still haven't figured out who Jesus is. And it's a whole bunch of fiasco about where this man was born. Well, shouldn't they have done that before he became president? Is that really an issue right now with these people talking about shutting down? Is where this man was born really an issue right now? Give me a break, people. Give me
Absolutely.
A break. Put down the Xbox, the Y, the Wii, or whatever you call that thing, and pay attention to what's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why this country is all toe up. It's not enough people caring. That's really all it is. It's not enough people caring. Everybody got an opinion, but you're doing it behind the lines. You're not doing it where it counts.
Right.
It counts when you get to that poll. Have your opinion then. If you don't have your opinion then, whatever you're saying right now, even if you're calling in and you didn't even vote, your opinion means nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely. 100% right. You know, and I'm in total agreement with you. And one of the things that I've found, and this is one of the reasons that I do what I do, and I see Brother Alpha. May I say I want to thank Miss Gloria. She was the first room in the chat, first one in the chat room. Miss Gloria 40. Thank you for joining us. I want to thank Brother Alpha and Chatologist. Thank you so much for being in the chat room. Now, but, you know, Miss Paralegal, I want to thank you for giving us a call. I really appreciate it. I thank you again for the promo.
Black,
but, you
guess
know,
what
I found is.
Hello.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Guess what?
Hello.
I am Miss Gloria 40.
Oh, my goodness.
I told you I couldn't get on Blog Talk. I couldn't find my Miss Paralegal name. So
uh-huh.
I decided to come in my own name. So.
Oh, that is, okay.
That hello.
Is, hello. Thank you. You know, but what I was going to say is that one of the reasons that I do what I do with this little thing here, this little show, is that I really, you know, there are some issues that there may be some issues that I don't cover. And I'm sure there are plenty, millions of issues that I don't cover. But if anyone chooses to, they could send me an email at blakicz.1@gmail.com, and I'll try my best to find any information about those issues and bring them forth. But I know that you're in the field of trying to assist people to find their way through life and to get themselves adjusted and acclimated to the extent that they can become, they can find out how to explore and become the best that they could ever be. And I really wanted to compliment you and commend you on your efforts in doing that. And, you know, as because there are so many vulnerable individuals in this world today, I was talking with a friend of mine that I grew up with in my hometown here in Texas last night. And, you know, I we were talking about how that communities had changed. You know, hoods that what used to be neighborhoods are now just hoods. And there was a time when people had a sincere concern and a care about each and every individual who was involved out there in this, you know, in that community. And I mean, I know even though back then the communities were separated, and you know, but in our community, there were those older individuals who tried to provide the guidance. And I, you know, I came from a single parent, a female head of household background. As a matter of fact, I was raised pretty much by my grandmother and my great-grandmother. And so you can imagine growing up as a kid, and the closest person to my age was like probably 40 or so. And, you know, I really had my little playtime, but there was no way that I could communicate with them on my level. And so I always had continually to try to, you know, get my level up to where that I could have a conversation that they would have some interest in on their level. And even though they try, and they were, don't get me wrong, they were very nurturing individuals. I learned a lot from them. And what I've tried to do is to pass along to my offspring and grandchildren those things that were taught to me by those individuals, and I hope, you know, that I do a fair job of representing what I consider to be their perspectives. Because when I think about it, being raised back in the 50s, those were some very trying times. And again, and so some of I used to watch them when I was a small child go to church. A lot of people have a disdain for churches or whatever. That's where I grew up, and I understand. And I won't knock anybody else's faith. If they please, don't knock mine. I understand. There's a lot of people. I've had different, you know, conversations with people who, well, I don't believe like you believe in this God. Yeah, that's okay. I understand. But I hope we can all meet up at the truth someday, regardless to what my belief system is based on. You know, if it's not offensive or detrimental to you. Anyway, I watched those people suffer mightily for 6 days, and then when they came to gather on a Sunday, they literally exploded. You know, I didn't understand what the shouting was all about. I didn't understand just the congestion. Apple talking about, damn, Black, you ain't that old. Hey, Alfo, If the God lets me see it, I'll be 60 my next birthday, brother. That's. but anyway, you know, in Apple, I'm sure he's right in there, around there somewhere. I think Apple's probably in his 40s, maybe. But you know, the thing of it is that I'm trying to say, Miss Gloria, Miss Paralegal, is that, you know, I watch those people get so full with, you know, because there was a stress and a strain that whether or not we would make it back home as children. I mean, I can remember when we, quote unquote, integrated the swimming pool. The Apple said he'll be 59. I tell you what it's like, brother. When we, hey, keep on living, brother. I guarantee you, Alpha. And I will mention Alpha's show here in just a little bit. But my point of it is, and I really appreciate him for what he does. We have some parallel interest, absolutely parallel interest, and congruent interest. But anyway, the thing of it is that I can remember my first, when they used to get us up on the stage and give us one little single line. And they'd be coaching you. Come on, say Jesus wept. You know, if it was just the two words. And this was initiation into, I think, a lot of people who became singers or actors or whatever. You know, and so what I appreciate about you and sisters like Sister Rabia and some of the other sisters that I know that are working with the youth these days, I enjoy Miss Quiet Storm for the things that she's doing, and Navazar, Sister India Declare, Sister Janice Graham. And I know that you're working on something to come on Block Talk Radio with. Am I reasonably correct? Hello?
Hello?
Did you hear me?
I heard, but I didn't know if you were talking to me. Say it again.
Yes, ma'am. I said, I was naming out some of the hosts that I'm familiar with on a Block Talk Radio. Sister India Declare, Sister Navazar, Sister Janice Graham, Sister Miss Quiet Storm, Brother Alpha, ALFO, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, are you thinking about providing a program?
Yes, and sometime I think mine will start either next week or the beginning of next month.
Okay. Well, you know that, and I'm going to be wherever I can be to be of any assistance to you that I can be. And I know yours is going to be quite different than mine. But anyway, I won't get into that. I'll let you surprise us, because I know it's going to be wonderful, and I'll do the best I can to have people be aware of the coming events in regard to your show.
Thank you.
You know, you're more than welcome. But, you know, the thing of it is that that's what we have to evolve back to, in my opinion. You may say evolve. I think that's evolving back to where that we all began to care about each other. And those were, although they were segregated environments, so as the word went, versus integrated environments. The idea of it was when we integrated. I remember when we integrated school where I am in Texas in 64 and 60. I integrated one school in 64 and one in 65, and I was going from the sixth to the seventh grade, and it was not only. That was going from elementary school to what I consider to be junior high school, and the environment was totally different than anything I'd ever experienced in my whole entire life. And what I mean by that is that those schools were bigger and faster, you know, the movement. You know, we had one school, one building with little tiny rooms. And so you knew exactly where you were going in this school. You had to look at A, so-and-so, 701A or 101B or whatever. But anyway, it was sort of disruptive. It was quite a few things happening. Social upheaval. You were going through your hormonal changes. You were going from one form of teaching or mentoring to another form of mentoring. There were it was just a very I could describe it, but I don't want to take up a lot of time doing it. But, you know, and so I'm so grateful that I had the grounding that I had at home in order to face the situations that I was beginning to face in what they called integration, because it was quite a dramatic change. So I said all that to really say this, Miss Paralegal, that I appreciate so much your what you do, and I won't even talk about it, but unless you choose to, and you're more than welcome to if that's what you would like to do. But working with youth is something that's a part of my life, and when I retire, hopefully not in the far distant future, that's what I would like to do, is to work with youth. So I admire you for what you do, is what I'm saying, basically.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, when I come on your show, I don't come on to talk about me. I come on
to
participate in what you are doing. But thank you for mentioning that, because that's how I get the support that I get, you know, through word of mouth of other people. When it is time for me to fundraise, I have a home that I take in kids that have been sexually abused or raped by relatives and family, friends, and whatever. And it's not the same as when you're adopting a foster kid or whatever, because these kids have to be sheltered in a different way. You know, they can't do so much. It's almost like they're in jail, especially if the home that they're sheltering them in is in the same county as their relatives. You know, they can't do, they can't know where they live, like a domestic violence house, a house for women that have been battered. You don't know where that house is, and, you know, you're not allowed to call the police, and just different things of that nature, whatever it takes to keep these children protected. But if you've never been through anything in your life, try going to a homeless shelter for women with children, and watch these children scream all night because they are in a unfamiliar place, and the place stinks, and, you know, practically sleeping on army cots and just different things. Their whole lives is being changed. If you've never been through anything in your life, then take home a kid that has been violated and listen to them scream all night. Because they can't sleep. Every day of their life, they are being raped over and over again, because this is the last thing that they remember. Nothing happy, you know, all sad and negative things in their life. And what is so bad is when you have kids where the mother and the violator is on the run because the mother chooses not to believe the child. It's so sad. And so it's a lot of work that has to be done. Nevertheless, when you've been a victim yourself, you can kind of understand, or, you know, you go through it yourself all over again. But at the same token, you remember what it took for you to get past the beginning point. So you're able to nurture that child in whatever way you can. You get up, you sit on the floor with them. You don't touch them. They can't be touched at all in the beginning. You sat there on the floor with them, and you put a glass of milk or juice or something there that opens up a door to say, I know you've been hurt, but you can trust me. You just have to do it. And it's a work in progress. Nevertheless, you just do what you have to do. So I've been doing this for years, and I'm not going to say I enjoy doing it, but I will say this, that I'm glad to know that I can protect one more child.
You know, and I can't help but to say that what you do is and I've never heard it. You know, I've never spoken to this aspect of life. It's always been, you know, and still is, you know, me experiencing it from through the eyes and ears another person speaking it. But, you know, the thing of it is that there has to be a social compassion. There has to be an environment that provides the that support network and for those individuals, as well as all other vulnerable and innocent individuals. And these are some of the reasons that I address the some things from the political aspect, is because you have to use the tools that are available to you. And to me, one of the simplest tools that you have available to you is the vote, you know, and you have to be aware of certain characteristics and certain representative aspects of different individuals who, are in the political arena. And, for instance, there was that judge, I can't remember all the details precisely about the judge up in Pennsylvania, who was sentencing those children, I think 6,000 children, to some really horrendous sentences. And there, those instances are going on, and people are, not to say that people can be changed necessarily, but I think that there are certain opportunities that should be availed to people. For instance, therapeutic, group therapy, sociologist or psychologist or some form of a support network. You know, I've had some experience with the 12-step program, and I was like, this is why I was so dismayed when I heard Charlie Sheen speak negatively in regard to the 12-step program, because that would, in my opinion, put some people in a position that they would never ever be able to find a way to gain some sobriety and some recovery, you know, and whereas he may have access to many different means of acquiring and achieving and sustaining sobriety, you know, those opportunities are very valuable for some people who may not have access to all the other varied and assorted means of gaining sobriety, you know, and that means giving up drugs, to me, drugs and alcohol. And one of the times that I'm always reminded of is I had a chance to work with a group called NA, Narcotics Anonymous. I had enough time that I could work with some of the guys, and a lot of these guys were getting out of institutions or whatever, and they were, you know, really not hardcore. These were just kids. Like, I was in my 30s, and these guys were like in their teens, 19, 18, late teens, early 20s. And they were like, you know, wanting to impress me with, you know, how, you know, tough they were or whatever. And my whole objective was just to, as you say, because they're new. They don't have to come. It's a mandatory program. It was there. I don't know if it still is, because I've not been involved with it in a long time, but it was mandatory, conditional upon their either probation or parole, that they find them some type of recovery program. And that is what that we had. We had a nice recovery program, and it was volunteer. And these guys would come in, and one of the things that I did ask these guys, they would come in, they would give me their paper and say, here, sign my paper. I'm like, no, we'll wait. And Alpha said, anyone listening to Sheen is a fool. I agree with you, Alpha. But they would tell me, here, sign my paper so I can go. They had his girlfriend. I was like, no. And I literally, me, based on my religion, I prayed for something to say, something, some deterrent that I could. You know, utilize. And the only thing that I could come up with at that time, they sat back, put their feet up on the table, and start, you know, smoke cigarettes. It's cool. I mean, this was casual. It's a casual environment. Was to ask these guys, I asked them, I said, what is it that you enjoyed the most about being locked up? And, man, these dudes, like, they set up, put their elbows on the table, and they looked at me like I was, you know, a kangaroo or something. I mean, like, something they had never really seen up close. And I was like, do what? And I said, what is it that you enjoyed most about being incarcerated, locked up? And, of course, they chose some very creative and colorful words to express to me that they really didn't find anything that was to any degree beneficial, I mean, you know, enjoyable about being incarcerated. And so my next statement was, why keep doing it? And you know, because this is the way that one of the ways that I was taught to, through me, you know, trying to reach a level of sobriety and try to sustain it. And, you know, you have to choose a higher power. A lot of people say this is religious. No, it's not a religious thing. It's because you can't, you know, pick Allah or God or Hindu or Buddha. You can't, you know, you have to, whatever anybody believes. If you're an atheist, all the thing about the 12-step program is about is attaining and sustaining sobriety. And once you gain it, and this is what I thought, because every time I would go to a meeting, we get hugs, support from each other, because we each, those of us who were there to stay clean, because your dry date, my dry date was so important to me. That's the date that you know that you didn't find a need after that to use any mind altering mood changing substances, and that's the 28th of August 1988. I was 36 years old. I've been doing drugs since I was 16 years old. But that date was very significant to me, and I didn't want to reestablish, you know, go out and use, no. I just wanted to do it that one time. Fortunately, and this is what I said, because of the 12 steps, because of my higher power, I was able to not have a need to use a mind-altering mood-changing substance since then. And as I say today, drugs are not an option for me today, and as well as failure is not an option. But anyway, the point of it is that, you know, I didn't want them going back, because one of the worst feelings that I ever had was when I would have some illicit substance, primarily my thing was marijuana, but I would see some red lights flashing. You know, my body would just tense up. My heart rate would speed up. I would just get, like, almost nauseous because I thought those lights were coming after me. And that is such a relief whenever I know that I'm not even the least bit concerned if this person stops me. Now, I don't know what city life is like. I you see, in the country, you know, where I've lived, rarely, there are some instances, I'm sure, where that people have had negative experiences with law enforcement. But, you know, out here in the hinterlands of Texas, some of the places, you know, you don't kind of, these guys kind of, they may not like you, because that uniform doesn't change their attitude. It doesn't change where they, what their intellectual foundation was. It, you know, they, if they didn't like you when they put the uniform on, in all probability they won't like you after they get it on, you know. But at least some of these guys assumed a certain sense of responsibility, and they would initiate their behavior in regard to their sense of responsibility. But there are some people I've seen who allow whatever their traditions and customs are to control their behavior pattern. And like this one kid down in Houston who ate policemen, assaulted this kid, kicked him until he was unconscious. Ate policemen. It's like that pack mentality. And, you know, so to me, I said all that to say this, and I know I'm probably boring you, Miss Paralegal, but I said all that to say this.
Not at all.
You know, there's a thing that was introduced to me years ago, and it was called PIC, PIC. And that PIC was prevention, intervention, and cure. Prevention. And it works regardless of whether you're talking about schoolwork, whether you're talking about sin, whether you're talking about drug, whatever it is, it's worked for me. Where is that if you find a child who has no, because we got a chance to speak with kids in elementary school and so forth. After that, some of us did and so forth. But, you know, the prevention aspect is to present a case, not as, you know, because I ask a boss of mine, we were deep in the safety, you know, where I work. And I ask, and so they were considering the possibility of, you know, should they reprimand severely an individual, time off without pay for being unsafe in some situations. Now, I asked him, I said, is this, you know, incentive or reward that you're talking about? Because in some instances, you know, there is incentive where that if you perform safely, then you get a reward. In some instances, if you perform unsafely, then you get some real severe reprimand. You know, so is it incentive, you know, where that they give you something if you achieve, or is it that they really severely reprimand you if you fail, and there is a rainbow, a vast array of options between the two, you know, those two things, and if the idea is that you want a person to be as safe as possible, then you have to present, in my opinion, a reason that they should consider safety. And it may not. Some people are motivated by their own safety. You know, well, I don't want to ever get hurt. I don't want to lose a finger or an eye or a toe or a foot, you know. So, you know, that's a way that, you know, you communicate with them. And some people, you know, understand that if you're not safe, then your child or your friend or your brother or somebody could lose this. Right, you could lose a finger, you could lose a toe, you could, you know, or, you know, your family would lose a breadwinner if you lost some significant part of your ability to be mobile, you know, and people at certain different levels begin to resonate with different people, but you know, a lot of people are clinical. In my opinion, they go to school, they learn this technique, they've never had experience, and so they present it to you from a clinical aspect to suggest to you, well, this is the way that, you know, the book taught me, you know, and it may or may not be relevant and pertinent to that particular individual because they don't consider who they're speaking with, they consider who's doing the speaking, and this is the difference to me between talking with and talking to people. You know, some people talk to you. They'll say it, you know, I'm talking to you. You know, and some people talk with you because they want to elicit from you some information that will give them a better representation of how that they could approach you and be more beneficial to you. And some people just want to you know, show their authoritarian position. You know, I'm an authority, you're an idiot, and I'm going to show, you know. And what happens is some people respond to that. If you've been raised in an environment where that's a formal and acceptable means of interaction with one another, then that's acceptable. Some people, they have a great aversion to that. Who do you think you're talking to? You know, you're talking down, you're trying to be condescending to me. Who do you think you're talking to? And so, you know, it gets to be, anyway, I'm getting way off into too much stuff. Oh, you're gonna hang. Oh, listen, Miss Gloria 40, I hear you. I'm sorry, I didn't. Are you gone? I'm sorry. See, she left. Y'all don't know. I get too deep into this stuff. That's the reason why I like to read the articles that I found in the different issues. And I want to thank you, Miss Paralegal, for being a part of the program. I really so much appreciate you, and what you do. And I really you know, please come back, and I'll be quiet, all right, this next time, okay? But here's Ms. Paralegal.
Welcome. I'm Ms. Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific. A full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Tell you what, that's an awesome talent. I really appreciate her very much. She's a wonderful individual, and as you can see, if you heard earlier what she was talking about, and I'm sorry that I interrupted her so frequently and for such a prolonged period of time. Ms. Paralegal works with the youth in the communities and tries to help them reconstruct their lives, and she's been doing it for quite a while, and I hope that we can ask her to come back, please, if she doesn't mind, and share some of that information with us, because I'm sure it'll be beneficial to us, no doubt. We'll be right back. We're going to take a slight little musical interlude here, and then we'll be right back with more of the show with The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And always, you're welcome to call at 347-945-7040. 347-945-7040. Heard right here Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you don't want to call us, send us an email at blakicz.1@gmail.com, blakicz.1@gmail.com. We'll be right back right after this brief little musical interlude.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of us children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
We got a change and a change came. Bring it loud. Obama, household name. Let your boy in a brand new way. The world that makes you be singing them freedom songs. We got a spirit cause our God made it strong. Away with the promise, 30 acres and a mule. Nowhere in this to be so cruel. Standing for the belief like I lead. Fighting in an unknown zone. Put away that strife, bring our truth back home. I wish Pop was alive. See the best day when the knees fell down and his heels broke down. Victory in the heart, so amazing where we start. In the midst of the pain, the rain came. While the seed preserved and safe and not for the fame. World was left without much and fast.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky. It ain't no lie.
Movement. How we went from the slave ship to the president. The dream of Dr. King is what we represent. Our mind clean, non-violent. We bring peace to the environment. And we love all men, women, and children. Not judging by the color of their skin. We blend, characterized by the content within. Equalized by the Constitution. Eyes on the prize to make a better union. Obama televised this revolution. Now we rise, our brother. Creeps and allies for the solution. Open up your eyes, be free. As a bird in the sky, by the grace of God, I testify.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky. It ain't no lie.
The past be in vain, and the veins of those who bled for this insane. same thought. That if we dreamed and fought the fight, that one day we would never see the bloodshed fight and lose. And now we see the color lines of the red, white, and blue ride with no color lines. The reality to the vision of asleep eyes. Once trapped at the bottom, now we fly high. And God's not done yet. If sunrise is victory, to never show sunset. Take many years and tears, and thank God we trust, so it's already done. Jeez. And we don't need a receipt for this one, to have to bring back. No, we can't.
Like an eagle in the sky, there ain't no lie.
Question the power of our democracy. Tonight is your answer.
I want to thank you for joining us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Heard 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And that was my son, my oldest son's group there in on the West Coast, the Crosswalk Coalition. And I'm going to try to get the, I think they have a site if you want to check them out, Crosswalk Coalition. I'm not sure, but I'll find out and provide you with that information as soon as possible. Anyway, one of the other things that I wanted to speak about this evening was the Supreme Court rejects damages for an innocent man who spent 14 years on death row. And this is in the Luke21.com and by Zerlina L. Maxwell, and this was on the 3/31/2011 at 1:53 p.m. The Supreme Court overturned a $14 million judgment awarded to John Thompson, a former death row inmate who spent 14 years on death row after prosecutors purposefully hid blood evidence that would have proven his innocence. Writing for the majority, Justice Clarence Thomas protected the New Orleans District Attorney's Office. District Attorney's Office from being held liable for Thompson's wrongful conviction and a time spent on death row. The court held that the evidence against prosecutor Harry Connick Sr. did not prove deliberate indifference. Where else, from one brother to another, Clarence Thomas? The hidden evidence allowed Thompson to be awarded a second trial, and he was acquitted of the murder. And after civil rights trial, he was awarded $14 million in damages, which the court just took away. The conservative block of the Roberts Court just helped to rob Thompson, just like prosecutors robbed him of his freedom. So you see, this is why, in my opinion, that is so significant that you find yourself involved in the political scene, because these judges have to be replaced. And if you want Donald Trump, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, Mike Huckabee, Tim Pawlenty, some of those guys, kind of like that Walker, Scott Walker guy, if you want those guys to replace your next justice, then just don't get involved. Don't get involved. And you will see that those justices will be in a position to control the rest of your life as you know it. But anyway, we have another couple of articles here. I wanted to mention this is going to be a real significant issue for me. Bobby Yates, Justice. This you can find this site, Justice for Bobby Yates. That's JUSTICE for FORBOBBYYATES .blogspot.com. And this is a young man who was who lives in Paris, Texas. And we've had some experiences with Paris, Texas previously, and from the DA's office up that way, at least some of the experiences that I've been involved with, and where that there was a need for some individuals from outside the community to come in and assist some of those individuals in the community to find to receive justice for you know, because of the as they say, overreach and over exuberance of some of the law enforcement officials there in Paris, Texas. It says Bobby Yates is being positioned for a wrongful conviction. The 51-year-old lower body amputee is facing charges of sexual assault on a minor. Yates has no sexual desires, having a penectomy, removal of his penis as well. It says the wrongful conviction is in the making. In the county of Lamar, Paris, Texas, the case of Bobby Yates and at least 20 others handled by Lamar County Attorney Gary Young are in need of in-depth investigations by the United States Department of Justice. Lamar County Attorney Gary Young's thirst for convictions by any means necessary results in wrongful convictions, excessive sentences, and alarming rates of juveniles tried as adults. In the case of disabled Bobby Yates, currently 51, an indictment was secured for sexual assault of a child. A hunting accident which occurred 20 years ago resulted in Mr. Yates' lower body being amputated, as well as he underwent a penectomy, removal of his penis. Penectomy results from no sexual desires. On September 22, 2008, Yates was arrested and charged with sexual assault of a child by using his fingers. Bobby Yates is innocent. Even though Bobby Yates called 911 for help, the police report states that the 16-year-old white female called 911. The 911 tapes tell the truth. The tape, however, does mention that the female was so high on drugs that her speech was slurred. To secure an indictment, a photo of Bobby Yates was taken to make it appear as though he was not handicapped. Yates is confined to a wheelchair and a lower body with a lower body amputation. His height was omitted, and there was no explanation of him not having a lower limbs. This is yet an additional attempt of Lamar County Attorney to secure a conviction by any means necessary. Bobby Yates lived in Ridgeview Townhomes for 5 years without problems. He had no criminal history. On March 18, 2008, at approximately 1:30 a.m., 1:30 or 2 a.m., Bobby Yates got a knock on his door that would change his life. A 16-year-old white female and two adult white males asked Bobby if they could enter into his home while claiming they were locked out of their own homes. Bobby reluctantly allowed them in. Several hours later, Bobby made a 911 call. He told the operator that three people were in his home threatening his life, and he was afraid of them, and they would not leave. He said one of the three assaulted him by beating him in his face. Bobby can be heard on the 911 call telling the group to get out of his home and telling them not to come near him. The police came out, and Bobby Yates told them the three had refused to leave, and they jerked the phone from him, preventing him from using it the first time he tried to call. He attempted to leave out his front door, and they grabbed his wheelchair and prevented Yates from leaving. The female claimed Bobby touched her vagina, even though the two men were in the same room with her the entire time she was in Bobby's home. So if you will go to that site there, you can see some of the information, and all this article is about is asking that the United States Attorney General takes a look into some of these potential allegations. And if nothing is going to happen, nothing happens. You know, and you can go to the site and sign a petition that would allow that would support Bobby Yates in his endeavors to secure an attorney and to represent himself and hopefully not to have these alleged charges levied against him if he's an innocent individual. And that's all the Attorney General's office would be to make an investigation and make a determination if the charges were indeed accurate or if they weren't accurate. And you can find this article at Justice, that's justiceforbobbyyates, justiceforbobbyyates.blogspot.com. And also, there were some other things that I wanted to talk about, and I'm having a problem finding them right now. But you know what? When I'm having a problem finding these things, what I'll do is provide you with a tiny little bit of a musical interlude, and I'll pull these topics up, and I'll let you listen to this right quick. Be right back. Country, and without your vote, Brother Alpha just supplied me with the information, or reminded me, because I heard it earlier. I can't remember. I believe it was, I'm not sure where I heard it, Ed Schultz's show, or maybe Mark Thompson's show, but they found some additional votes up in Wisconsin, which may have allowed the individual, Mr. Prosser, secure his to retain his seat on the Supreme Court. And if that's the case, I feel bad for the individuals in Wisconsin, because he definitely has been purported to be a right-wing Republican activist, more or less, and as well as a judge. And whenever you hear these guys say that they don't believe in activist judges, you might ask them to repeat that and look them straight in the eyes to be sure that they're not making a mistake. Anyway, I have only 90 seconds, and let me say thank you, Miss Paralegal, for dropping by. Let me say thank you, Brother Alpha. Thank you, Chatologist. Thank you so much, Chatologist up in Canada, for dropping by. And I want to thank you for joining us, whether you join us live or whether you join us on archive. And we appreciate you being here. And this is what we do on Thursdays, and we look forward to having some conversation with you. And if you ever have a desire to give us a call, please don't hesitate. 347-945-7040, or you can contact us, blakicz.1 ice@gmail.com, right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And any topics that you feel are relevant or pertinent, we'll do our best to take a look at them and find some information in that regard. One thing you may want to look up is group spends nearly $500,000 on Oklahoma City City Council election. Oklahoma City City Council election, $500,000 in that election to get an individual elected. You might want to look that up and check it out and see what you think about it. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week and many weeks after that, right here on Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
On the Quincy, they gon' dig in. Yeah. Hold up.
Wait, stop.